Hello, we're back with Wiggins and the producer Nick Maniatis, part two of our chat about Nick and myself. And we hope you're enjoying the new season of the Chattering Classes. I've got a few episodes coming up, some recaps. Hopefully, I'm going to talk to Amber Quigley, beginning teacher from the start of last year. She's now in her second full year of teaching, and also catching up with some friends that we did last year. Hopefully we can get Cesar and Cesar back on and see what weird stuff Cesar has said recently. And hopefully catching up with the Fonz. Yeah, that's right. There's a guy coming on. I used to teach. I called him the Fonz. Let's see if he lives up to that billing. Anyway, let us get on with our chat with Wiggins and the Four Many Artists. Hello, man.
Hello, men. Hello.
Men
What?
with men.
Ah, manly men being men with men.
We are so
Did
manly.
I? Sorry. I have to go.
Barrel right
Yeah,
into it, because
why not?
we've got some things to go over before we even start. Some feedback here and there.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I love a bit of feedback.
Just a little bit of feedback from our good friend Alison. We all know Alison well. And she said this. She said, "Hi, I've just been listening to the conversation with Nick and Wigo, and it was very nice. And I had a cozy moment and just realized it was proper nice listening to your story." I was like, "Oh, that's very sweet. It was cozy. Will
So
it be
lovely.
cozy tonight, or we're going to confront some of the demons?"
Oh. What? Okay. All
Yeah,
right.
the other thing I wanted to do is I should have done this at the start of the previous episode, was to tell this story. Nick and I went to our friend's house. They live out in Braidwood, out in the woods, just after New Year. And we had a lovely time. But I just wanted to fill you in, Wigo, on something which happened, which sort of you would understand more than anyone, which was later in the evening. Bryn, who we were there with, we started just talking absolute rubbish, and there was like a pause, and Nick said, "What was that from?" And I said, "What do you mean?" And he said, "Is that from something?" And I said, "No." And he goes, "What do you mean?" And I said, "Well, we're just being stupid." And he was like, "But you're so into it." And I said, "Well, yeah." And he was like "You were so locked in, like it was something." And I was like, "No, that's what we do. That's what all my friendships are based on, really, is if you're gonna start a riff, then lock right into it."
Get into
I thought I'd better pass that on, because I was like, "Oh, someone's verbalized it." Of like, "What do you mean that you just made that up? You looked like you were right there." It's like, yeah, that's the way to do it.
was that the first time somebody had commented on?
I don't know, Wigo. What do you reckon? Do you reckon people have asked that to us before? Of like, what's that from? I know Justine every now and then will say, "Is that what's that from?" Or "Is that something?" And usually I'll say, "Oh no,
It's just conversation.
just an aside, flight of fancy."
No,
I don't know. Are
Oh, look,
people just
again, my memory's
confused?
terrible. And
Yeah,
also, this isn't about us, right?
no, that's true.
So, but that's a,
Are they just
that's,
confused, do you think, we go? Or
I think there's an element of confusion, but it's also an element of, like, Nick, can you remember that moment? And do you remember watching it going? And I suppose that it's just that confusion piece is that I wish I knew what was going on here. Yeah, part of it, and part of it I thought,
I can't recall what it was for the life of me, but
No, I
I
can't
felt
either.
really emotionally awkward. I felt that there would had been a shift in a friendship and the way two people knew each other, and they were disagreeing over something that I didn't understand. So I was
What?
really worried. Like it
Oh,
was re yeah, I
really?
was
Oh,
yes.
okay.
Yeah, I was like, oh, I don't want to be here at the moment where everything breaks down and collapses in on itself. Like, that's not
So we
fun.
were having an argument in character.
Yeah, or something like that.
Oh,
That's how I
right.
recall it. And then, yeah, then when it came out that no, you were in character, it was. I can't imagine doing that.
That's so interesting to me. Like that the having an argument in character thing, because I don't think, like when I think of us having that type of conversation, it's a, and I don't know if that's my influence, but it tends to be a very positive thing. Like it tends to be we're building on something that is like we're trying to make more fun out of something that wasn't necessarily as fun and building it up into something that it definitely wasn't, but it's always got an element of positivity to it.
I do that. My friend Sonny and I do that. Just realized I didn't realize that it was building on stuff. And we do it where we kind of sample. That's actually literally that. Sample something that the other person had said, and we turn it into a unit of syntactic meaning, and we then might, and then we'll link others of those from our friendship together to talk.
Magnificent.
I had never thought of it like that before.
Well, I mean, we have songs that I've had in my head for 20 years that are just things Wego said or that someone said in conversation that we've turned into a song that goes forever. So it's just, way. It's interesting, Wego, you say like it's all done like in a positive, but I reckon we've had arguments in characters, in character, where people around us may have felt awkward, but we're having too much fun. It's still positive for us
Yeah,
because it's just
true.
fun. I wonder.
Oh, that's
Feels very drama student to me,
Oh,
that type.
absolutely. Oh.
Yeah,
Oh.
and that's something that for me was not my happy comfort place ever.
Yeah, and I think if you when you've been friends with people a long time, like I think it's obvious when if we were younger, that would be more obvious. But I think that just shifts so quickly that people are like, sorry, we were having a normal conversation. Now what's happening?
Yeah, going from first to fourth
Yeah, very
in
quickly.
very quickly.
Yeah, just going
The
right.
triple shuffle.
Yeah, that's funny. That's funny that you, Nick, you felt that like that feeling of awkwardness. Oh, that's interesting because I
It's all
never would have.
shifting now. It's all shifting now. I feel like I feel like I witnessed something more intimate. It's really
Nah.
nice.
Well, it's forgotten. That's the thing. It's instantly, it's done.
But the feeling is remembered.
I don't even know. That's
Well, not for you, but for Nick.
oh, for
Yeah,
Nick.
for
Sure.
Nick.
Absolutely.
It's invisible theater we go. There you go. I don't know what that is,
Have to
but I
write
remember studying it or something,
that
and it sounds important. Invisible.
Invisible theater.
Well, I'm on
I
board
mean,
with it.
well, I don't know, Nick, if you know the story, but Ellis and I, one day we learned about, I think that's invisible theater, where the or you just do things in public and the audience doesn't know. It's really annoying, just annoying drama students, basically. But when we were in year 11, Ellis and I met at the local shopping center, and we just with I think one other, maybe another girl, and we just messed about and annoyed people in invisible theater, made some kids cry. Did all kinds of things, all in characters, pick fights with each other, and then left. And we were like, that was pretty great. Don't really want to do that again. Didn't mean to make children cry, but these things happen. I just
All right,
thought,
well,
let's make Nick do that.
so welcome, Nick, and
Yeah.
we've got 30 people we're bringing into this call.
So we've got still one more thing from the last episode. We go. Nick messaged me last night, and this is what he wrote. I have no idea really what it means, but he's going to tell us what it means. It says, last episode, you mean last episode with us?
I assume so.
All right, good.
I think so. I think
last episode resulted in some incredible internal building. Now, what a great phrase. Incredible internal building. We go. You get any ideas of what that might be?
Well,
or are you imagining what I am? Some kind of Tetris Lego set.
Like a building inside a building.
Yeah, like a window you're looking into him, cartoon style.
I feel like it's added some type of something inside Nick in regards to your friendship, but it may also have something to do with me as well. Like, so now there's the three of us. And so that's given him some type of internal build.
I haven't looked forward to a conversation in a very long time. Like, I love, you know, there's people I love chatting to, but the these recorded ones have a structure and a framework to them that I really enjoy when I'm in them. It's really different way of conversing with people. But usually I have all kinds of anxious, I don't know, do I really want to do this? What are we going to talk about thing?
Yeah.
It's completely different for this one. I'm like, oh, the episode's over. And it's been, I can't wait for the next one.
Wow, that's
there's,
cool.
There's some interesting dynamic between the two of you that when a question is asked, it then gets reframed, and the process of the reframing of the question is super fun. And then I get to kind of think about my answers better. I don't know. There we go. That's where I am. That was way too much. Where did that come from?
That was a very Nick answer. And I think you get a sense of why I like talking to Nick.
Totally here for it.
I've never heard anyone say those sentences before. And that's like, that's so cool. Like, yes.
Well, okay. Isn't that also interesting in that my first question for you both is, how do you support each other?
Oh.
And so it's interesting just to hear you say, Matthew, like that's a, like, when Nick talks, it's stuff that you don't, I've never heard someone say that before.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, I don't know about supporting in terms, but if we have the time to talk, even if it's not being recorded, it gets pretty intense pretty quickly. Because we have like a very similar brain. And I think that's probably the key to it is I understand a lot of how Nick will respond to things or think about things because my brain's very similar. So if we are talking about the differences, then it's that kind of like really granular level.
Yes.
How does your brain work?
Yeah.
So I guess that's the best way to explain like how Nick supports me is there's no one else who I could talk about my brain on such a granular level, on such a tiny, you know, we might just talk about one little thing and he can keep asking, I don't know, he's going to ask questions or I'm going to ask questions of him that I can't imagine anyone else asking or even thinking about, but it's almost like, why doesn't everyone have these conversations all the time? I don't know. I don't think that's even answering the question, but.
No. So
that was a ridiculous answer. That was amazing. I'm just going to listen now. I just need to get that out so I can then start coming down from that.
So is it about you will start a discussion about something and then go into the minutia of that particular subject and you can both work inward together and you're happy to be there with each other, like really inside whatever that minute piece of detail is, and then sort of work back out from there around how the hell did you get there? Or
I don't know if we sometimes it sounds dangerous, doesn't it? I don't know if sometimes we don't come out of it like clearly, where we're just like, oh, well, that was pretty interesting. I'll see you later.
Yes, it's there's no gradual working out,
No.
not get in the bends type, careful. It's just ascend
Get
slowly, process that. No, it's like
back.
cut the
Yeah.
rope.
Yeah.
Forming on the surface of the ocean and we're drifting apart.
Wow, what a metaphor. I don't know if that all fit together in terms of
No,
it.
no, no.
In a more straightforward way, we go, we text each other and go, I'm doing pretty shit. That's probably the most way I think we support each other.
Yeah.
How are you going? Not great. Here's why. And again, not like, not talking in like analogy or even like, no euphemism, just like this is what's going on and feel.
And I send way more of those to Matt, I think.
You
Because
think?
there's, yeah. I could be wrong. It could just be weird perspective shift, but I very much feel that you do an incredible amount of supporting like that, more than I do for you.
Yeah, and I think it's the supporting is just like, oh, that sounds bad. You know, like it's not like, well, this is there's no problem solving. Yeah, it's often that sounds crap, or yeah, this is how I feel, or this is how I know I'm about to feel that way. I guess we had a conversation like it last night where we were both feeling pretty crispy. And I think that's all you need sometimes is to be like, yeah, well, that would be hard to feel that way and that situation. So yeah. And then you're
And
like,
off
oh, I feel a bit lighter after just even having that
and
chat.
often you will say something completely unexpected in it, like really just thoughtfully different, and
Ooh.
just identifying or describing things, that kind of really good way of being an intent listener in a conversation, reader, whatever, and being able to go, ah, that's the bit, that recounting and selflessness and noticing something and just being able to state it. And sometimes I haven't seen it.
Right. That's a good
There you
answer.
go.
Good answers tonight.
There's a title in there.
Yeah. I was going to call it bobbing on the ocean, floating apart. Hard to get past that.
That's really nice. So there is a, and does that support come from a shared experience, or is that just from, it's just from being friends? Like it, you don't necessarily have to have experienced the same. Being that you're both teachers, does some of, I would imagine that some of that stuff comes from that. But you're also both parents. And so those shared experiences, is that, is like there's arms in all of that or hands in all of that.
I got distracted by the arms and the hands. Now I'm back in Wiggins' brain.
Sorry.
No, that's all right.
This was something that I've learned about myself is that I tend to put a hat on a hat. So,
I love hats on hats. You know that. More hats. Let's put another hat on and see what happens. I think the fact that our brains are very similar. So again, we tend to respond to things fairly similarly. And that's only just come from that wasn't from the start of like going, oh, right, but it's more about like, hey, this is what happened today, or this is how I responded to this, or like I responded in a very weird way to this thing, and then the other person will be like, oh yeah, I know what that's about, and you're like, oh, cool, thank you. Allison's good like that too. Like, oh, like, have you considered? And then you're like, oh, yeah, well, that makes perfect sense. And you're like, oh, Jesus. All right. Yep. That was staring me in the face and I wasn't looking at it. So that is definitely how it helps. But I don't know. It's what I think it's a thing that we do for our kids as well, is sometimes when you're not like providing a solution, you sort of provide a solution. Or you
Yeah.
provide, like, you're not looking for the solution, you're looking for someone to let the air out. Does that make sense? Talking in analogies and metaphors all day, aren't we? But that's like that kind of feeling of like, oh, you didn't tell me like this is what you should do to fix it. You just made it go, oh, right. Yes. Okay. Right. Oh. And then you're like, oh, I thought I was looking for a solution, but I didn't really need a solution. I just needed, I don't know, you just need someone to say, yeah, that's fine.
And I'm going to lose this thought if I don't say it. And I
Yeah.
knew that I could do that because I can do that with you. But
Right.
I have not been able to stop thinking about Johnny Two Hats for the last 5 minutes. And I mean, it's probably only a minute and a half. It was very
Yep.
hard to hold that thought in my head so that I didn't forget it, so that I could tell you too, that it was sitting there.
Johnny Two Hats is great. We've got an image as well. Now we've got an image for the episode.
Outstanding.
Yeah.
Well,
Oh dear. Yeah.
all right. When were you both most impressed with each other?
Oh, Jesus.
There's all kinds of there's the All right, the first thing that came to mind was Matt and the Everyone teams putting on drama productions. So I'm not pretending it's Matt's team, but the school productions when we work together,
Yeah.
and that being involved in that kind of collaborative stuff is just so far beyond the kind of commitment I feel I make to anything. Because it's in a different realm, and it's because I find, yeah, all kinds of reasons, but
Yeah.
that's the very first thing that came to mind, that involvement and commitment in those huge things. It's just giving. It's like so much giving.
Yeah. And I don't ever want to do that again.
Put that on the record.
So since then, I haven't really done that because it's too, like you said, too much giving, and I've avoided it. And I've told principals, "Nah, I'm not. I don't. I'm not doing that. No. It's school musical. That's not me. Someone else will do that," because I know, like, what it takes. I mean, that's why we have. That's where Team Zombie came from, was because anytime we were doing the student production, we would all. The four or five of us would be brain dead freaks for like 2 weeks. People did all kinds of weird shit. They went, I've got to drive from one campus to the other, and drove home because they just weren't thinking. They just went home and were like, oh, wait, it's the middle of the day. It's not the end of the day, and had to come back. We once walked around the shopping center for about 30 minutes, and then we're like, where are we going? And we're all waiting for the other person to direct us to where we were going, and we were just wandering like brainlessly. That's where the name Team Zombie comes from. It's because of that. Like, the investment into it is just way too much. Yeah, but that is, thank you for saying that. Yes, it is a lot of giving, but it's too much. Shouldn't have to do it. Shouldn't have to do it, teachers. It's too much. My daughter, both my daughters, their school's putting on a musical, and it's just like, cool, a teacher has to do that. Great. Good luck to them. The only thing with that school, and this is just teacher talk, is the student, we used to have a student run production with the junior campus. And because you do that for a number of years, after a while, it actually is student run. Like, the first few times we did it, it's called a student run production, but no student really wants to do it. And then by the last year, maybe we just had good kids. Good year 10s who had seen it and were like, I know, I want to direct. And then they just took over. They got the best people to do like the stage crew. And that was literally like, I don't have to do anything. I had to do the starting point, but not really anything after that. But that's a bit boring. As far as like my answer goes for Nick being most impressed, anytime he he's a very fine union representative. But anytime he called out executive in staff meetings, that was always impressive. Or if he was speaking for people who were afraid to speak for themselves, especially new teachers, like, hey, you're putting too much pressure on these new educators. That's not fair. In like full staff meetings, that was always impressive, because I always get a bit funny when I have to do stuff like that. It happens rarely. I wish I did it more, but it doesn't. I get all like hot and embarrassed thinking about it, which is weird because I can do embarrassing things, but not the actual, you know, call out people's bullshit, but in a professional way, like, hey, no, this is our expectation, and our expectations is, and what you're asking is beyond our expectation. Because you watch the executive like have no answer to it, and their power gets, you know, they're trying to exert power that they don't have, and then it just gets chopped down in a professional way. They can't do anything. They can't be unprofessional in response. And then everyone just gets about their day. And you're like, that was pretty cool. So that would be my answer. And anytime, like I said, he saved soccer balls with his face playing indoor soccer, that was always impressive. I don't know. Why would you do that? Just let them score.
You can't let the ball go in.
I don't know.
That's what a goalkeeper is. If the whole team's let you down.
Yeah.
If it's got to you because the whole team's let you down,
yeah,
you got to throw everything at it.
I know, but I can, yeah. I always thought it was going to be like a plasticine figure where his glasses would be like embedded into his scalp. Yeah, or behind through the back of his head or something.
Yeah, I don't know why it took me so long to get contact lenses. I never really played that level of keeping with contact lenses.
Yeah. I was always worried about his knees too.
Oh, the knees are the knee. Why? You should have been. They are not good.
Why the knees? Like, do you get kicked in the knees a lot as a goalkeeper, or you're just going down on your knees a lot?
Yeah,
or
down you, on your knees, and like when it's the sprung floor, like in the indoor floors. I mean, they give, but I always
you have to
I always
stop.
Tried
you
to
just
wear
kind of
knee
have to
pads
stop
and
and
stuff.
pivot and stop and pivot
Yeah.
pretty quickly and
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. That
what
was
about
always
your
my concern.
Knackers?
Like, it was so much
what a
fun.
great
It was
question.
so much fun.
What about your knackers, Nick? Can I clip that for the start?
No, that'd be. I wouldn't want that for the start. I don't have any memories of any serious.
Yeah, no, I can't remember that ever being
too fast with the hands.
Yeah,
too fast,
and knees.
And
we
knees.
go. Before we go any further, I'm going to tell you a bullshit story from futsal that actually happened. I once kicked a ball so cleanly, where a player, I think, I don't know if Nick was playing in that team. I think he was. Someone passed me the ball and I volleyed it so sweetly. This is indoor soccer, straight into the goalkeeper's face. I could have hit it in inch the other side and it would have been the best goal I've ever scored. It hit him so hard in the face that he went to the back of the goals and I went to check on him. And he said, I'm okay. And when I turned around, the ball was landing at the other end of the court.
I do not think I was there for that.
That's what I mean by it sounds like a bullshit story, but that's what happened. I hit it so hard into his face, it went the entire length, it went high and the entire length of the court.
Then he lied to you because he was not okay.
He was not okay. No, no, he was not okay. He was wearing glasses
oh,
too.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. Oh.
Yeah.
I've got plasticine head in my brain. I've got a guy with a smushed face and a ball just trickling into the goal at the other end because everyone's so worried about the goalkeeper. It'd be interesting own goal.
Yeah.
All right, next question.
Big pause.
Well, I've got a couple of questions left.
It's a classic pause, right. Wiggins.
Sorry, it's the Pausatron 3000. I got it replaced. So when were you last mad at each other?
Oh, Jesus.
And how does that play out?
Have we ever been mad at each other?
That question we get asked a lot, and I'm beginning to think I'm not one for getting mad at people because we never really have
No.
much. I don't know. What are disagreements about? See, I think this all occurs because I don't drink alcohol. I really do. I think there's a lot less people who are who have been annoyed or angry at something I've said because I don't drink alcohol and say inappropriate things at inappropriate times. You know? Like, hey, I'm going to stir Nick up by revealing things that he said to me in the past. I don't know. Because that'd be funny, because I've had too much to drink and I think that'll be funny. I just don't, that just doesn't happen anymore, but it used to.
Oh, that's interesting.
Well, excuse me, cat.
The cat's been here the whole time.
Yeah. Sorry, I missed that.
I'm just like, you used to?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be annoying.
I would say that a lot of times, if people were angry at me, like really angry at me, it was after a night of me being heavily drunk. Because I think, I mean, it's the same for most people, but it sort of mirrors how you're feeling or it exacerbates how you're feeling. If you're happy, then it's a happy time. But if you're like, I'm very sarcastic. And if I was in a very sarcastic mood, then that sarcasm comes across as, what's it called? Sardony, like sardonic, like it's got an edge to it. That was often what would happen. I say often, but we had a lot of good times
I don't
drinking.
remember. I don't remember a lot of that because I spent a lot of time with you drunk,
Yeah.
and I suppose I don't ever necessarily remember being the pointed end of that, you know, sardony.
No. Why would I, Wiggins? You're the big friendly Gins.
I don't know.
But I don't know. I like it happens rarely, but of course it's in my brain and my memory's so good. I could, you know, I could, it's like a big, there's a whole lot of them, but you know, it's spread out over 20 years. But that's yeah, something I don't usually have. I don't know. I don't, I'm just trying to think even like disagreements. I don't agree with this, or I just don't think.
Like the closest it would come is I would express an opinion on something, and you'd be like, "Yeah, but what about this?" And I'd be like, "Ah, yeah,
This guy again.
the most it is this exasperated frustration that you've looked at something from a different angle and
Right.
seen something differently that now I see differently,
Yeah, okay.
and I'm like, ah, oh, and I started that by mentioning it. But it's not. It's not like you're going, huh, I'm going to poke a hole in that. You're just like,
Right,
I
right,
can tell Nick this is what I think about this. Like, I,
right.
it's.
Yeah, I
It's a
mean, that's
very interesting
probably,
question because it's like, oh, not like this. I can't think of
that's
anything.
probably why there's nothing, because we're just like, hey, do you agree with this idea? You don't? Cool. Tell me why you don't agree with this idea. So that's sort of part of it, I think, is like, yeah, I don't know. We don't really like, just imagine Nick or myself like, personally insulting each other. It just doesn't seem like
No.
anything like that's gonna happen. It's like
No.
me saying that to you, Wigo, like personally insulting. It's not, that's just a waste of time. Why would I do that?
Yeah, let's just have a good time.
You might not be happy if I do that. Why would I want him not be not happy?
Yeah, that's right. There's a warmness to that
Yes.
relationship
Yeah.
that is like an understanding and a willingness to, well, a want to understand.
That's good. Yeah. I like understanding people. It's preferable.
This is the internal building. This
Right.
stuff.
Right. Just like wanting to understand people.
Oh, yeah, but just understanding us. It's
Right.
pretty interesting talking to someone about them and about your friendship.
Yeah.
It's pretty interesting to unpack it at this level of depth and have a great interviewer keep us on track, like just enough. Because if this was just you and I, Matt,
We'd be talking about
And Ben
Radiohead
wasn't
that
here.
month.
Yeah, it would have. That's right. It would have circled back into the grooves, which are cool. They're fun to
Yeah, no,
be
that's
in.
right. I mean, that's the thing of the podcast, right? Is that doing it is you don't you have something that keeps you out of those, like you said, those grooves. I'm going to use that. I'm going to borrow that. Because that's what normally happened. If I was talking to Wigo and we were in we didn't stay on track, then we would just be talking about basketball, and then it would just people would be like, I don't know what's going on. It would just be reference after reference and non sequitur after non sequitur. And yeah, that's it, right? There's like the tracks laid down that you have to try and not always be on, I guess.
Sometimes you like don't you don't spend any time in those tracks anywhere because you're
No.
saving them up for when you can
Yes.
like sit with Matt and talk Radiohead or Thom Yorke or
Yeah.
some weird thing.
Very weird things. We went and saw Suspiria last week. Oh,
Yes, we
this is a
did.
scary movie, right?
Scary
Yes.
movie.
Excellent.
Yes.
Yep. So we went to see it. Nick hadn't seen it. Justine and I had seen it. And we went to see it at the theater, which was great with like loud and not being able to escape visuals. That
Very good.
still upset me to this day, even
Nick
though I
sitting in
went
the
to see it.
middle of the cinema, so he can't get
Yeah, and even though I've seen it before, still like, why did I choose to come here and watch this movie, this bit in particular again? So yeah, that still happens where I was like, cool, I'm gonna watch Nick as he watches this scene. And the best thing was like I'd forgotten, like there's one scene which is like famously like really gross and intense. And I was watching him and he was like, just watch it, like, ooh, okay. But then I forgot, like not long after that, something even worse happens. And I was like, ah. And then I looked at Nick and he was like, what the fuck? And I was like, yeah, I forgot about this. How fun is that? Yeah.
Well, you guys, after the last episode, I went and watched a couple of trailers for the movies that you'd spoken about, and I've blocked that out of my mind.
What were the movies? Like, did you go watch the Suspiria trailer? What were the other ones? Can you remember?
Oh, far out. I'd have to look. I can't. I seriously, I watched them and I went, why did I do that?
Why did I do that? Why did I do
Just
that?
Men in Black to myself, and then it was done.
Now we talked about I wouldn't like personally attack people, but I nothing makes me happier than talking to Wiggins about his fear of the Invisible Man. Because he won't even watch comedy versions of Invisible Man movies, which just makes me so happy.
The new that new version of Invisible Man.
Yeah, right.
Oh man,
Yeah, that was pretty good.
that really got me in the.
Yeah.
If I started thinking that was real, and I
Yeah.
saw some small piece of evidence that it was, that is that's
There you go.
nightmare food. That's
Yeah.
exactly Wigo's point always.
He's
Yeah.
invisible.
Yeah, you don't know. How do you know he's not there? How do you know he's not there?
Oh.
That should be the tagline to every Invisible Man movie, right? How do you know he's not real?
Well, if I ever master invisibility, I know where I'm going first.
That is mean.
I'll drive you there. I'm coming to visit. We go with Nick, with the Invisible Man, just riding shotgun. That'd be amazing.
You'll be requesting that whenever Matt visits you by
Yeah,
car,
he's gonna
there
throw.
has to be five people that
That's
visit.
right. I'll have a bucket of water that I
He's
throw
gonna
on the
throw
seat.
paint. Yeah, he's gonna throw paint at every seat. Why'd you do that? You ruined my seat. Just
Just and then Nick's in
go. Yeah, he's in the.
the
Great. Oh, what a great image.
There's your title, Nick's in
Nick's in the
the
booth.
okay. Now we've sort of touched on this a little bit, but what's your favorite thing to do together?
You go, Nick.
One of the when we planned to watch Atlanta together,
Oh, fuck.
when we plan to
Yeah.
watch something that ends up being so spectacularly good, it is awesome to share that moment.
Yeah. Yeah. We re just random we both love Atlanta, right? And randomly, Nick said, oh, why don't you come over on Friday? Friday, I guess it was a Friday, and we'll watch the new episode, not knowing anything about what the episode was. Have you seen Atlanta, Wigo?
I have not watched Atlanta.
So we watched. So we go over to Nick's and fire it up and we have a drink and then we start watching it. And it is, if anyone know out there knows Atlanta, it was the Teddy Perkins episode. Teddy Perkins episode is not like any other
no
Atlanta episode. It was like a gothic horror slash Michael Jackson sort of, not even parody, but, and it was all about, do you have to sacrifice for art, and horrible parenting makes good artists or good sports people. And we were just like, from the start, like, what is going on? It was like completely different. It started differently. It didn't have all the characters in it. And it was just like, what is going on? And we were just like from start to finish, like,
Atlanta is worth watching for that episode. Atlanta is worth watching for that one episode.
Wow.
So that was just, that seems to happen when we're like, hey, let's watch something together. And we're just like, whoa, that was crazy. Anytime we're watching something together and we go silent and we're just like, oh shit, this is, we're very locked in this and there's, no movement. And then it finishes and we're just like, what the hell was that? Like, it is.
Do we need
to
watch that again?
I've taught it at like with year 12 students. If we do a horror unit and things like that, it's like one of the first things I teach them. I'm like, we're just going to watch this. And I just put it on. I don't say anything. And they're like, what the hell? And you're like, oh, what did you think of that? And they're like, oh, I don't know what just happened. I'm like, that was freaky. I'm like, yep, pretty weird. But it's like gross and strange. Like, it's just strange from start to finish. But like, yeah, really wild. Yeah.
And you got to do that together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was going to say, like, anytime we like have an appointment, sort of like a, some kind of, like, I went over to Nick's house because he got the new Tom York album. What was it called? What was the last one called, Nick?
I wish I could tell you off the top of my head. That's my brain these days.
Anyway, so he put that on. I don't know if he'd already listened to it, but I hadn't heard it. And we just had a little two-person listening party on like a Saturday afternoon. I don't know if I took my kids. I may have brought my kids over as well. And they were like, what are you doing? I said, oh, we're just going to, there it is.
Anima.
Oh, that's right.
Anima, however you pronounce it.
And I just said, oh, yeah, we're going to go over and I'm going to listen to a record with Nick. And the kids were playing outside. They were just doing their thing. And we just sat and listened to the album, which was cool. But there's one song in particular called Dawn Chorus that came on. And that's a core memory of like when I first heard that song in Nick's living room with the kids outside and this song sort of swallowing everything, if that's a way of putting it.
It's a good song.
Yeah. It's a really good song.
Yeah.
Description.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's a great description.
Like. That's what it was like. It was like, whoa, feeling, that's very strange. Like, so locked in. You know, it's that thing of like, hey, let's get together and lock in on something. That's really what it is. So there, that's a good answer. That's our favorite.
That's a great answer.
That's our favorite thing to do.
Unreal.
What's our favorite thing to do, Wigo?
Yeah. I should be asking questions. I've got. I can do that. I could do that.
Yeah.
Anyway, yes.
I think it's sitting around and talking with sport on in the background.
Yeah.
Like that's probably the soundtrack to what's going on.
Yeah.
And we'll just talk about whatever.
And Nick, if you were there, you would be like, they're talking and that. Sometimes they're talking normal and now they're characters and now they're talking about what's happening in the sport. Somehow they've been watching the sport the whole time while they've been talking and being stupid. And now they're talking about something completely. I'm lost. I don't know where I am.
Now they've referenced the movie to something from else. 40 reference, years ago.
Yeah.
And
Caddyshack reference out. Yeah. All of these things are just, flying around. Eddie Murphy, Saturday Night Live reference. And then back to the sport. And then,
isn't that interesting?
Right.
I just had a visual, very much like the brain in the cloud visual.
Yeah,
magnificent work there.
Now
Nick, by the
brain
way,
in the cloud visual, we'll have to explain because we talked about this after recording.
That's me.
No, that's all right. Which was, we were talking about how our memories don't work as we want them to. And Wigo said, it's like my brain floats up through the clouds, right?
Yep.
And then it's just floating by itself above the cloud. Happy yeah. enough, but just nothing going on. Anyway.
But there's nothing up there, right? So you get above the clouds and it's like, oh, there's nothing up here. What have I come up here for? It's like, why have I come into this room? But it's really nice here. Maybe I just came in because it's nice.
Yeah, I just came in. Oh, yeah, that must be it. I came in because it was nice.
So the thought that I just had then when you described what we do when we get together was that it's like there's all this stuff floating around. Like we're having a conversation and there's all of these subjects that are just floating around in the sky.
Yes.
And one of us will just go, I'm just going to talk about this for a second. And so it's like opening up a little, like it's opening up a little fortune cookie or something like that, where it's like,
you know, what it's like? We go, remember those game shows where people stand in the thing and they blow money all around them?
Yeah.
That's what it's like, just flying. Yeah.
But we're not grabbing all of them.
No.
We're just grabbing one at a time.
Yeah, one at a time.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you're like, what does this say? Oh. Yeah. Let's go with that.
This says Jamie Lee Curtis's boobs.
This says Manute Bowl swimming. Yeah. See, Nick saw it, but no one else did. Wiggins and I made the exact same facial expressions while we both looked at the piece of paper that we picked out of the air.
Oh,
that's what it's like.
That's right. Because that's what you do.
That's what you do. Yep, that's what we do.
All right. Okay, I've got one more question for you guys. This is about you guys. And the question is, okay, you have to pick one karaoke song for each other to sing.
Oh, great.
What song would it be?
Great question. Nick, have you ever sung karaoke? That's what I thought. All right. So let's choose a long one.
I just want to. I'm pretty sure I've seen you karaoke. Blood Sugar Sex Magik, Chili Peppers.
Mm. Yeah,
that was fun.
Yeah,
I was impressed.
Yeah, that's my impress people song.
Cool. Not that one then.
Yeah. Not that one then. Nah.
But I don't know what else.
That's the one. Like I'm on tour. I better do this one. And I'd rather do. I don't know. What would I rather do? Land of a Thousand Dances by Wilson Pickett. That's a good one. Yeah. No. I don't know. For Nick, I mean, there's a Velvet Underground song that goes for 19 minutes. That'd be pretty good. Bit of Sister Ray. What would be a good one? I don't. That's again. That's a good question. But Nick, I've never heard him. Wait, have I heard him even sing?
Probably not.
Not even in early in the mornings times.
Nope.
Can I just have a sub question while I think about this?
Absolutely.
Nick, what's the most effusive? What thing makes you the most effusive? You know what I mean? Like,
what, like subject?
Yeah, subject, event. I don't know. Because I know in the past I've known if I've gone to meet Nick out somewhere,
mm-hmm.
I can gauge his level of inebriation based on whether he gives me a hug.
Oh, yeah.
If he's giving me a hug,
yeah,
that means he's feeling very happy with his evening because it's very rare. Like, you're not that effusive person.
No.
And so I just thought...
But like, the right... Yeah.
Yeah, the right atmosphere. Because karaoke is more like it's very performative, right? More than the singing. You don't have to be a good singer for karaoke. Mm. Not about that. It's about, as Wiggins will know, it's about intent.
That's right. A lot of things in life are about intent.
Yeah. So that's the question I have, was like, what would it take? What mood would Nick have to be in? Because he wouldn't be like, I'm so drunk that I will sing karaoke. That
No,
he would probably
he would do the
opposite.
Oh, you would just end up with a microphone and you're halfway through a song.
No, it'd be frozen.
No, he would do the opposite. He would say, "No, I'm going to go home. This is gross. I don't want to do that.
No way."
Right.
So I don't know what situation he'd have to be in for that to even. Yeah, I don't know. But what song?
What about spoken word?
The smarter ass answer would be a John Hopkins song because it wouldn't have any words to it. He would just be standing there.
Yeah. That's.
So let's go with that. Some instrumental song. Sort of might
that
go
isn't
for
on
a long...
karaoke machine because there's no way in reality that would exist.
It's a very strange karaoke machine. It's very esoteric. We just stumble into a bar that where it's, you know, all the decor is black and white for some reason.
Where
like
the karaoke machine changes for the person that's about to go and put the song on.
Magic realism.
I hate karaoke so much. I cannot do it.
From both perspectives?
I was going to say, yes.
If it's friends I know that are okay, like Matt, I was so nervous when I first was invited to a night that had karaoke at it. I'm not sure if I knew that. I was really nervous when Matt was going up all excited and then it was fine. That was okay.
Yeah.
I think I am incredibly self-conscious about my voice in the first place, that I don't want to share it with anyone.
Yeah. I've never heard Nick sing a word, even in a joke voice.
And I was going somewhere with that thought. And I listen to vocals in music and enjoy with such granular way that I imagine that everybody listens to my voice like that, which I know they don't.
Oh, right.
But it is the most pervasive of those. This is how I think people observe me, even though they probably don't.
Right. This is why Nick and I have the same brain, because I feel the exact same way about dancing. That's exactly how I feel about dancing, is that it's the only time I feel self-conscious, is I can't get out of my head enough to enjoy myself fully, even though I'm not looking at anyone else saying, look at how stupid they're dancing. But I will say, I don't think this will be the case for you, Nick. That has changed since I've told people that. Isn't that a nice thing to realize? Is that once I told people that and they all went, yeah, that is stupid, the last few times that I've been like out and had a dance, I'm more able, not completely, but more able to have more of that time where I'm not thinking about how I look. And then I'm able to keep dancing rather than like, oh, I lost the rhythm of that song and everyone knows it. At a Chemical Brothers concert with 3,000 people. But that's true. That's exactly how I felt. But exactly.
That is so amazing how mirrored that is.
Yeah. Well, as I said, same brain, just slightly to the side.
Slightly different suburbs.
Yes.
Yes, exactly. How many titles are you going to give me, Wigo? Yeah, I've still got more questions about singing, Nick. I've never asked you any of these questions. I'm fascinated. What about at home? Do you sing at all? Like, I'm just realizing, like, I've never heard you sing. Are you the only person I've never heard sing in my entire life?
I do a bit at home, I guess.
And did the kids say anything to you?
No.
You know, I'm just determined now to hear you sing.
I'm fully aware of that. I'm a very uncomfortable place right now.
I also have a pretty strong sense that that's never going to happen. So, you know.
Well, I want to ask you about what you've listened to recently that made you feel the way that you spoke about before. Mm. Because I listened to something today I listened to a lady sing a Foo Fighters song.
Huh.
That I should have sent you, Matthew, because that it was just it made me feel something where I thought, hang on, I'm sitting on the toilet. I shouldn't feel this right now. But yet image. I did. Yep.
Great image. Honey, I'm feeling something that I don't think I should be feeling right now.
Yeah, so I want to know what.
Yep, I got an answer for you. Yes. This is a new find. And it's a new find through TikTok and then Facebook, whatever their stories are. Mm. And it's the band Pomplamoose, which is a misspelling of the French word for grapefruit, as Janie told me after I said I was listening to this band called Pomplamoose, but spelt differently.
Yeah.
And I recommend looking them up on YouTube and then watching their stories or whatever they're called.
Yeah.
Because they have 2 or 3 minute recording sessions with their band and satellite performers. And the way they talk about musicality and songwriting, and also her voice and the way she interacts with all of the instruments is super interesting. Super, super interesting. So that kind of thing. So I get really, obsessed at that level.
Mm.
There you go.
Well, see, I don't think I'll be as scared looking up something that you've recommended this week.
I have a song which I think was probably popular on TikTok years ago that I think Violet might have played for me, and it's called As the World Caves In by Matt Maltese. And it's a love song about literally like the end of the world. And right. It's kind of, I never really listened much to Leonard Cohen, but it's kind of that kind of ilk, this kind of love ballad. And that's the song I could give a bash on karaoke, probably poorly.
That's all right.
Yeah. It certainly would change the mood of the place from like doing jump around.
Which is unreal.
Yeah.
Other end of the spectrum is London Grammar.
Oh, they got a new album?
That's like the other voice level listening.
Oh, right. Thing. Yes. Her voice is...
there's some announcement coming sometime in the next couple of days.
Yeah, her voice is very, it's kind of what's her name? I want to say Beth Gibbons. Is that the singer for Portishead?
That's Portishead, yeah.
Yeah, that's what Portishead. I mean. Like that kind of like...
Yes, Beth Gibbons as well. Yeah, yeah.
That voice is just like, that'll stop a crowd. That'll stop a group of people the first time you hear it. Like, what is that?
That's Tom York's voice to me as well.
Yeah. That was Amy Winehouse's voice did that.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that, Wigo? You won't remember this, Wigo, but that was the first time I heard Amy Winehouse was in Wigo's car. And I said... Shut up, everyone. What is this? What are you playing? And they're like, oh, it's Amy Winehouse. And I was like,
what? Is she 87?
Is she like, is this from the 60s or something? You're like, no, it's new. And I was like, what's going on?
Mm.
And yeah, I still remember that. Like, what is, oh my God. Like, I just thought, here is an because Wigo's good at going, here's an artist from the 60s or 70s that you've never heard of. That's really cool. But yeah, sorry, Nick, you were going to say.
I never got into Amy Winehouse.
Oh.
Never did. And then I heard this song by Olympia Vitalis on the radio. And there was its follow-up interview. And who did I send that one to? I thought Adam King might like that one. He's been on the podcast before.
Mm.
And he sent me back, and I think quite spot on, that it was Amy Winehouse reminiscent.
Oh.
And I instantly thought, oh, yeah. Never liked Amy Winehouse, never really got into, like, I just never did.
Yeah.
But that has opened up me acknowledging more Amy Winehouse. I don't know why I didn't before. I don't know. Sometimes things don't happen till later.
No, that's right. Because when it was like all.
I just lost Matt.
Yeah, he just went a bit crunchy.
So I wonder where the recording gets stored, like if Matt's hosting it directly.
If it just ends up, oh no, there he is. He's
there
back.
He is.
Sorry, this internet dropped out. It's fine.
Okay,
That'll just be weird for a second. I'll cut around it. Yes. Well, like, separate question about Amy Winehouse. Sorry, Wigo, you hadn't yet. That was all your questions?
That was it. But I also found three of the movies that I watched the trailers for.
Okay.
Not the scary ones.
Yeah.
But I watched the trailer for The Covenant. I watched the trailer for Primer.
Oh, yeah.
Which I'm definitely going to watch.
Yeah, you'll like that one.
I watched the trailer for Beau Is Afraid.
Oh, it's on Netflix. 3 hours of your time. Watch it in 8 sessions.
Yep.
We definitely would have enjoyed Beau Is Afraid. That would have been one. It would have got high rotation.
Mm.
And people, possibly our girlfriends, would have said, can we watch something else pretty quickly? And they would probably have been
no.
Right. They probably would have been right.
Yeah, but not.
Yeah, I don't know. I'll let you be the judge once you finish with that one. But yeah, you'll like Primer. That's a good one. I was going to ask a question about like Amy Winehouse, right? Like her death at 27 obviously sucked big time for fans of Amy Winehouse. I think Amy Winehouse and when I think back or what as a world we have missed out on, I think her death and like her early death and Philip Seymour Hoffman's death were the two that really every now and then make me go, oh, crap. Like there was so much more that they could have done. Like I knew, like listening to Amy Winehouse in 2006, what I hoped was that she was going to have a peak in popularity and then not, and then still at age 60 be touring and I would still be going to see her with all sing all like not just her songs but songs for the past 100 years. That was what when I heard her, that's what I thought her career could be, and then that's not happening clearly. And Philip Seymour Hoffman, like he was nearly 50, but
yeah, could have still been another 35 years of Philip Seymour Hoffman,
because you just go, I don't know any movie that was like worse because he was in it. So I was wondering, do you have anyone else that's like that for you in terms of art? Doesn't have to be in the movies or music.
I mean, mine's the broken record, same answer as always. I still haven't managed to miss new David Foster Wallace.
Yeah, right.
There's nothing like the new brain crinkle of reading something of his for the first time.
Yeah. Like
have to read it a second time to really understand. Get into it.
Well, like the when they did the, what was it, The Pale King, right? His posthumous book, it was unfinished. It was sort of a bit of a mess. But it had bits in it where you're like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
This sucks. This is amazing. And it sucks because this is it.
This is it.
Yeah. Mm.
So I still haven't found. I'm hoping I will. I'm hoping before I die that some other different piece of art will come by.
Yeah.
Where I'll feel
the same. Yeah.
Mm.
Mm. How about you, Wigo?
I think like from the first person I thought of was Shane Warne for some reason. Like he wasn't going to play cricket again.
Yeah.
But I just really liked the way his brain worked around sport, especially, specifically around cricket.
Yeah.
And I enjoyed listening to him talk because he had some. You didn't know what you were going to get. Like it wasn't the same stuff all the time. Like it wasn't rinse and repeat, that can happen a lot in cricket. Whereas he just looked at things through a different lens and always had. And that's why I enjoyed watching him play so much, was because he was just different. Like he just, there was everything was on a tangent for him.
Yeah. Yeah, he wasn't normal.
Yeah,
in the way he played cricket on and off the field, not a normal life.
No,
wasn't going to have a normal life. Wasn't going to do. He wasn't settling into anything, was he?
No, at no stage.
No. So I remember when he died. That's what I remember talking to Justine. She was like, "Oh, he died." It's like blah blah blah, and he had a heart attack, and I was like, "Yeah, yeah, she asked me a bit about like his cricket. She said, was it a shock that he died at 50? No.
It was a shock that he survived to 50.
Not really, no. She said he wasn't like really overweight. And I said, oh, it just seemed to live an unhealthy lifestyle.
Yeah.
All the time. Even as a
as a professional cricketer.
Elite athlete.
Yeah.
Just
ate pizza and
yeah. Like, smoked. Yeah.
Smokes, pizza, red drinks. Wine.
Yeah. Horrible choices.
Yeah. So that's my answer. For one of a better answer. Mm. But
one of a better answer. That's another good title.
How is that not the title of a podcast?
Yeah, yeah. That's yours. There you go, Wigo. Start your own podcast, for want of a better answer. All right. Well, thank you again. That's part two.
Thank you.
I'm sure we'll do this again because it's pretty fun and it's always a super fast hour. And that's
okay,
it.
That was an hour.
Yeah, that was an hour plus, I think.
Can I just say?
Yeah. That's a drunken phrase. Hang on.
Sorry.
Can I just say?
Well, I have to say, because we're recording this and you were about to press stop, so I have to say something while we're recording. I really enjoy these conversations because there are very much different levels in these conversations. Like we went from telling each other how much we love each other in a really serious way, talking about the things that mean something about each other.
Yeah.
To talking about how Shane Warne eats pizza. And they are the sorts of conversations that I like to be involved in. So,
yeah. And I like that we all got stuck on different things. People with two hats, Shane Warne eating pizza, the thought of Nick singing karaoke.
Yeah.
I don't think I recovered from that. You'll probably, if you listen back, find I got very distracted around that point. Just the, I wonder. All right. Thank you, gentlemen.
Bye-bye.
Bye.